Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther, John Enns, and Tyler Holman. Boys, what's happening? there's that patented silence. It's actually a thing now.
Are we supposed to say something there, or is it? It's going to be
no,
on
no. He's just Let's just edit, keep going the way we've been going. You guys don't say anything. Oh man. Okay, so this week we're covering NHL Week 3 waiver wire picks and preview. Of course, we'll cover the hockey news and injury updates as we always do from the previous week, and talk about a few other things. So. Let's kick it off. Let's get into some hockey news here. Mark Stone does not require surgery. According to head coach Peter DeBoer, said it's somewhere between day-to-day and week-to-week. And, of course, we already know that Max Pacioretty's out. So, and then, of course, the Oilers just took him to the woodshed. How about that?
That was nice.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, the Oilers are 5-0 for, I think it's only the second time in franchise history.
Oh, wow.
They look good. That power play is just ridiculous, honestly.
Oh, it's disgusting. Yeah. The thing is too is they're like the last two games, they've played sloppy for the most part and they still won. So, I don't know, I'm scared, but that's cuz I'm an Oilers fan and I don't know how this goes, so.
What do you mean we're 5-0? That's not supposed to happen.
No.
Hoskins look good too.
5-5
surprisingly, hey. 5-5, yeah. Oh, geez, knock on wood. Yeah, Mikko Koskinen looked pretty good, actually. Well, I think he let one in on his glove hand, right, which we kind of expect. But the save percentage in his last four starts has been really good, surprisingly. So hopefully that continues. I guess Mike Smith, and that was one thing we were going to mention here, is he did leave with a lower body injury against Anaheim last week, but he's supposed to be back on the ice tomorrow, according to head coach Dave Tippett. So we'll expect to see him back soon. Brock Besser was activated off IR. He made his season debut earlier in the week against the Buffalo Sabres. Yanni Gourde is activated from IR after offseason shoulder surgery. Pavel Buchnevich was suspended 2 games for headbutting Coyotes forward Lawson Crouse. So that's the second headbutt we've had in as many weeks. I don't know what's going on with players. It's kind of a trendy thing to do right now, apparently.
Watching soccer.
Yep.
Yeah, too much of that going on. And here we go again. Tampa Bay Lightning forward Nikita Kucherov was placed on LTIR. The move gives Tampa Bay an additional $9.5 million in their LTI salary relief pool, which, of course, is all the conspiracy theorists are saying he's going to be on LTIR for the rest of the season and back. They're not circumventing the cap, right? I mean, it sounds like it's not nearly as serious or severe as it was last year. Did you guys hear anything? Does he require surgery? I didn't hear anything.
I didn't
see anything. Yeah.
Okay. So who knows? Kind of an unfortunate situation if you were a Kucherov owner. Who around here, was it John, is that you or is that you, Bruce, that drafted Kucherov this year?
Me. I did.
Yeah.
The sad thing is I have three people on this list. I have Stone, I have Hughes, and I have Buchnevich.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's rough. You seem to always have injury trouble, Bruce. Doesn't matter what year it is or which player it is.
Yeah, if you want your team to suck, just let me know which player you want me to draft from your team and I'll make a trade for him.
Yeah, so speaking of Jack Hughes, he was placed on IR for a dislocated shoulder. It won't require surgery, but he's going to be out probably week to week. John, you showed me that clip. Obviously, he's pretty frustrated when he skated off the ice.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't impressed. You could just tell the emotion was there. When he got off, he was just so angry. He knew that something big was wrong and... yeah, it's a tough break for the kid.
Yeah, he was off to a really good start. I think he was leading the league in takeaways.
Oh, yeah.
It was last I saw.
Tremendous. He was ahead of Mac Daddy there. So, yeah, no, it was good.
It's unfortunate. New Jersey, I don't think, has done very well in his absence either. So, tough go for the team. Jeff Carter and Tristan Jarry were placed in COVID-19 protocol. They're both asymptomatic, according to Coach Sullivan. Shifley was in COVID-19 protocol. So was Blake Wheeler. They both missed, I think 2 games this week already.
Yeah. Well, Jarry's out of protocol. He played on Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. That's right, Bruce. Yep. Yep. But Carter did not.
No, he didn't. And they still shelled the Leafs.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I was just going to ask, when do we talk about how much the Leafs suck?
Let's talk about it right now, because that was awful.
Okay. I also lost my bets on that night that they lost 7-1. So I thought there's no way that the Leafs could lose. And not only did they lose, but they got their ass kicked. Like, it wasn't even close. I watched it, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I was watching it too for a bit.
I've seen rec hockey teams put in a better effort than the Leafs did against the Penguins.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
Like, yeah. It was just terrible.
Yeah, hot garbage on a Sunday night puts in a better effort than they did. So, and that's bad. That's bad.
That's bad, yeah. And the Leafs, national television on a Saturday. Like, yeah, Jack Campbell's save percentage was .762. And a .750 goals against average.
That might still be better than Carter Hutton's.
Probably.
Maybe.
Those are looking like Flurry numbers.
It's brutal. Yeah.
Flurries are slightly better. Just slightly.
But Tyler, back to your point about betting, like, there was no, like, it just seemed like a safe bet, right? And I was going to put something out too, if you're playing DFS, like, load up on Leafs players for Saturday night, because no Crosby, no Malkin, no Letang, no Carter, no Rust. Like, you'd think there was no way.
Yeah.
And, like, if they'd lost the game, you could still kind of go, okay, whatever. Like, the rest of these guys are NHL players, but to get absolutely shelled the way they did.
Yeah. I took them in regulation. I took him in regulation. It was awful. Like, absolutely awful. So.
So your TV's okay though. Hey, you didn't have to.
Yeah, TV's fine. I dropped the other one, so nothing flies at this TV. I've already wrecked one of them, so yeah.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Patrick Kane too, so like you mentioned earlier, he's in COVID protocol, but he did play his 1,000th regular season NHL game on Thursday night. They lost to, was it Vancouver? John, you would know you had Flurry.
I was going to say, sounds right. It was terrible. Let me pull this up here again. I was just thinking about today's game for Chicago and how bad that was. So,
well, we can talk about that one here soon too. But yeah, I think it was 4-2 Vancouver, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And actually, I was reading on Twitter, they're supposed to be Lankanen today, but for whatever reason, they went with Flurry. Mm-hmm. And it made zero difference because they lost 6-3 to the Red Wings.
Yeah.
And so we might as well chat about that too, because Lucas Raymond had a hat trick and an assist. He became the Detroit Red Wings' first rookie to put up 4 points since Lidstrom and Fedorov in 1991.
Wow.
And then Moritz, yeah, pretty good company there. Moritz Seider had a power play assist, and now both players are 1-2 in rookie scoring.
That's awesome.
So pretty solid effort. I think it just, like, is Steve Yzerman, can we just call him the best GM in hockey?
Sure, yeah. Seems that way.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, everything that's like the success that Tampa has had the past 3, 4, 5 years is all a product of Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, those are a lot of those are his picks, his draft picks, trades, whatever. And now you see what they're doing in Detroit. Like, this is a team that was supposed to be rebuilding, and they just embarrassed Chicago again.
Yeah. And they're playing without Verana.
Yeah. So they look really, really good. Actually, they've just exceeded expectations, at least in my books.
Yeah.
I picked up both Raymond and Seider in our ESPN leagues, and two of them. So hopefully, knock on wood, they continue their pace they've been on. What else went on this week, guys? Matt Murray was placed on IR with a head/neck injury after leaving yesterday's game against Rangers. No further news on that. Getzlaff was fined $1,000 for tripping Joel Eriksson's neck. Did anyone see that play? I couldn't find it.
Didn't see it either.
No, I did not.
Okay.
Must have been a golf swing.
Some other big news here this week. Sidney Crosby told reporters there's no timetable for his return. He mentioned that on Friday after practice. So, you know, the initial reports were he was going to miss somewhere between 2 and 6 games, and so at this point, we still don't have an update for Crosby. And apparently, this injury goes back all the way to 2014. It was a hit from Ryan Reeves, apparently, and he had some injections to deal with it, and now he's finally got the surgery. So hopefully when he comes back, he's just back to vintage Crosby, but who knows at this point when that's going to be.
Yeah.
And then Drew Doughty. Let's chat about that a bit. Bruce, you saw the hit, and you kind of said, Hockenpah is going to be in witness protection. I had a chuckle.
When I first saw it, it didn't look good at all. So, but it was a tight shot of the two of them. So, but it didn't look good when I saw it.
Yeah, it was Yanni Hockenpah. That was Friday night against Dallas. He had to be helped off the ice, Drew Doughty. It was confirmed on Saturday he's going to miss a bit of time. I saw two different angles of it, and the one angle I saw, it actually looked like Hockenpah kind of pulled his knee in, like away from Doughty, just slightly. They still collided knee on knee, but I don't know. Just from what I had seen, the two replays, it didn't look like it was intentional, but any takes on that, guys?
I think he just missed the hit. We've seen knee on knees where you can see that they're sticking the knee out, and I don't think that happened. It just hit kind of right on the knee and didn't look good.
I think I
have Drew Doughty too, so.
Well, and for Team Canada's Olympic, you know, team, like that's not great either. So hopefully he's back at it and there's not too much damage there. We should mention Connor McDavid reached 200 NHL career goals in 411 games played. So both him and Leon reached that milestone this week. So that was kind of neat to see.
Another milestone, the Montreal Canadiens actually passed Connor McDavid in scoring finally as a team.
Yeah, that graphic was pretty funny.
Although I think if you added Connor and Leon together, I don't think Montreal have passed the two of them together yet.
No.
I think they still have less points than Connor and McDavid, or Connor and Leon together.
Yeah, I'd have to check. And actually, when you go to NHL.com, Jesse Puljujärvi is still showing up amongst the scoring leaders. Nice. So they've got McDavid, Draisaitl, and Jesse Puljujärvi. The Bison kick. Nice. That's going to stick.
It's the best.
I got to get one of those shirts. You guys see those shirts that I think it was Oilers Nation made?
I didn't see them. I'm going to get one of his jerseys and get one of those like Bison hats. And I'm going to wear it to the next game.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a pretty good handle, the Bison King. I like that. I think that's pretty much it, guys, for news this week, unless there's anything else I missed or you want to talk about. But lots of injuries, as always, kind of to be expected. This week, we got some listener questions come in over the week, just a couple. And then I just put out a request for questions from listeners, so we'll get into that right now. And it fits nicely with tonight's game, the Red Wings and Chicago. The question from the listener is Moritz Seider worth a pickup and hold, or just a streamer in a 10-team head-to-head keeper league? First off, I'll just say, I guess in a keeper league, yeah, he's obviously got value. If you're playing in a keeper league, there's no reason not to pick up Moritz Seider and hold on to him. 10-team, obviously, like we play in 10-team leagues, and it's not really deep. So yeah, you might be able to find some replacements for him that are producing a little better. But honestly, I don't think there's many defensemen in our leagues, guys, that are exceeding the production we've seen from Seider so far, is there?
Not yet.
So I guess question to you guys, like Tyler, I'll start with you. Is he worth a pickup and a hold for the rest of the season?
I think so. Definitely in a keeper league too, for sure. It's kind of weird with the 10 team leagues, because you do have some depth there to kind of pick up and drop players as they go. Like even Tyson Barry last year would have been one of the top defensemen in the league, and he hasn't done anything. And I have him on two of my teams, I'm pretty sure. So,
well, at this point, we're going to get off track here, but like Evan Bouchard, right? He got moved up to that top line in Barry's spot.
Yep.
And he's widely available.
Yeah. And I think that's going to stick too. I don't know that he puts up a ton of points this year. No. Bouchard. I think next year he probably does. And I think if Barry's not traded next year, he for sure will be the year after that in the last year of his contract. But
yeah,
he's just super steady. Bouchard's just super steady.
Yeah. Coach loves him, right? So we'll talk about Bouchard a bit in our waiver wire pickups, but yeah, he's looked really good so far. John, do you like Moritz Seider rest of the season, or is he just a streamer for you?
No, I like him for the rest of the season. It looks like he's getting a lot more time on ice. Like a few games ago against Calgary, he's only getting 19 minutes, or he only played 19 minutes that game. And in the last couple, he's played 24 and 23 minutes. So, no, I like him as a player there. He's been putting up points every game, it looks like, too. So, I'd say he's a pick up and hold.
All right, Bruce, what do you think?
Well, we might as well make this unanimous. I agree. For everything everyone said, I'd pick up and hold as well. He's getting all the opportunity right now, and he's taking advantage of it. So I would definitely pick him up and hold him.
We like Mo Sider. So if he's available, go pick him up. To your point earlier, Bruce, Varane is still out. So that team is going to look that much better offensively when they get Jakob or Jacob, whatever his name is, Verona back. Anyway, moving on. Next question here. Looking to drop one of Garland, Gord, or Verhage to pick up John Gibson. I need a third goalie, but I'm really confident in those three players mentioned. So, Bruce, I'll go right back to you to start it off. Are you going to drop, of those three players, Garland, Gord, or Verhage to pick up John Gibson?
I'd be dropping Yanni Gord.
Okay. Any particular reason?
Seattle's offense has been terrible so far, basically. Verhage's putting up points in Florida. Those three lines just put up points. And, well, just watch Garland's game last night against Seattle. And you'll know why nobody's dropping him anytime soon.
Yeah.
The angry elf was in full effect last night.
Who was it? Konechny that called him that, or who called him the angry elf?
It was Konechny that called him the angry elf, yeah.
Yeah.
He does kind of look like an elf, though.
He does.
A little bit, yeah.
He does. I think his ears are even pointy.
Konechny's pretty funny, man. Just listen to Konechny and some of the sound bites, he's got some good chirps out there. Okay, John, do you like Garland, Gord, or Verhage? Which one are you dropping to pick up John Gibson?
I'm going to agree with Bruce and say Gord. Like he said, the other two are looking like mighty fine players. And if I was going to drop someone out of three, it would be Gord.
Okay. Tyler?
This makes for a bad podcast, but I'm going to agree with that too. Yanni Gord. I think when you look at Seattle, you're kind of trying to look for a line that was like Vegas's line when they had Marchessault, Riley, and Carlson.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they have that. They're just not a super deep team, so I'd have either of the other two guys.
Yeah, I speaking to the listener, I said, you know, like Garland might be an option to drop just based on the fact that he's not getting top power play usage, but I'll make it unanimous here too. Like again, especially after last night's performance where he had a goal and an assist. I think he's tied for the team lead in scoring right now with JT Miller.
Yep.
He's covering some categories. Like he looks good. He's going to play in the top six. He's probably not going to get power play one time unless there's an injury or unless they really decide that he's earned it. But at this point, he's not getting power play one. That's the only knock on Garland. I would say, yeah, drop Gord. Even though, and one thing too, just as a waiver wire pickup, Gord, he's playing over 22 minutes a game through his first two games and he's getting a ton of power play time. So, There is going to be some production, some points to be had. He might be a 50-point player this year if you're in a deeper league, if you're looking at some options. You know, don't look at Gord as someone you don't want to pick up. But yeah, I'd say in this case, probably he's your guy to drop to pick up John Gibson. And then the third question here, guys, do you like Darnell Nurse or John Klingberg more this season? And I'm going to assume it's a hits league. Tyler, let's start it off for us. Do you like Nurse or Klingberg this year?
I like Nurse. Couple things. Durability is one. And time on ice. Like, Nurse is going to play 25 to 30 minutes a night. He most likely isn't going to miss any time because he just doesn't do that. I don't think he's going to put up the same points that he did, but he's going to play a ton. And Klingberg, when he's in, he'll put points up, but he's not always in. So if you had to pick between the two, I'm definitely going to pick up Nurse.
Okay. John?
I'm going to agree with Tyler, basically for all the same reasons. Time on ice, durability, everything. There's not a whole lot that goes wrong there with Nurse. He's out there. Seems like he's out there all the time. And he never misses any games, it seems. So with Klingberg, yeah, you're getting a fantastic defenseman. But there's just those lingering questions. Is he going to get injured again or what? So, yeah, no, I'm on the Nurse train there.
Okay, Bruce, thoughts?
Oh, I'm going to be the stick in the mud. I'm going to pick Klingberg.
Okay.
Basically for the opportunity, stick right? The so mud. Once he comes back, he's going to be back on power play one. He's going to get lots of opportunity to put up points. Yeah, he's a little... He gets nicked up here and there, but I think overall at the end of the season, again, it depends on what your categories are too, right? So it all depends on that. But I think points-wise, Klingberg is going to put up more at the end of the season than Nurse is. And depending on your league settings, you'll end up with more points at the end too.
See, and I think, and maybe more so that I'm hoping, but I think Heiskanen's earned that power play one spot at this point. Sorry, Chad, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the more time that Klingberg misses, the more opportunity Heiskanen gets to move up and kind of solidify the spot that we all think he's going to take anyways.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of time before Klingberg moves on. That's maybe not in the short term, but I think that's kind of the way it's going to go.
I 1,000% agree. And
yeah, me too.
Just quickly... Miro Heiskanen, yeah, in Miro Heiskanen's points here, he's got 6 points, 2 goals in 5 games played, 3 on the power play. He's averaging 27 minutes and 14 seconds, and he's getting just about 60% of the power play currently. And his shot volume is up to 3 shots a game, which is more than he's ever shot before. So I think he's out to prove that he belongs on the top unit there. And I would say worst case scenario, Klingberg comes back and they're actually splitting time on the top power play.
They could put them both on the top power play, too. You never know what they're going to do there.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, going back to the question, the original question, I'm going to take Nurse, too, for all the reasons that Tyler and John mentioned. But and just because I think Miro Heiskanen is going to steal some of that power play time from Klingberg, which has been really valuable for him in his career over the past couple of seasons. So, for our listener, yeah, Darnell Nurse for us. And then I guess, guys, it's a good time to mention that the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of NHLShop.ca. For all your officially licensed NHL merchandise, follow the links in our show notes or on our website. From jerseys and hats to socks, clocks, and more, NHLShop.ca is the best source for NHL apparel and merchandise. Visit the store today to see current promotions and offers. Terms and conditions apply. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content.
Do we?
Do we what?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so with that, guys, let's move on to our Edgework segments. NHL schedule, week 3. Number of games played. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got a few teams here that actually play 4 games. So Anaheim, Arizona, Carolina, Calgary, Florida, LA, and Montreal. Again, these are going to be in the show notes. So for our listeners, if you want to go back and reference them, it's all there. 2 teams of note, the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes. Actually, we've got 3 here because I've got the Calgary Flames listed as well. So Florida, the team to target next week with 4 games against Arizona, Boston twice, and Detroit. They've got a back-to-back set on Friday, Saturday. They've still got several players available in their top 9, namely Anthony Duclair, who's 28% owned, and Owen Tippett, who is 4%. They're both playing in the top 6. And as an added bonus, the Panthers play 3 games on off nights this week coming up. So keep an eye out for them. The Carolina Hurricanes play 4 games at home against Toronto, Boston, Chicago, and Arizona. So they've got a fairly favorable schedule this week. 3 of those 4 teams I just mentioned are struggling and are out of playoff contention at this point. They should have a good fantasy week. Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who's 9% owned, is probably the only remaining Hurricane in the top 6 worth taking a look at. But see who's available in your league. And the Calgary Flames have a fairly favorable schedule next week, playing against the New York Rangers, the New Jersey Devils, excuse me, with no Jack Hughes, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who have no Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and Carter, possibly. And the Philadelphia Flyers are also without Ryan Ellis at this point in time.
And Jersey's on their third string goaltender.
Yes, they're having some issues right now.
Actually, I think their fourth string goaltender played last night.
Brutal. I didn't mention anybody for Calgary there, but I think Blake Coleman's probably an option, especially if you're in a hits league. He's going to provide some category coverage there. And then, yeah, for the Hurricanes, like I said, Jesperi Kotkaniemi is probably your only remaining option at this point. There's a lot of teams with playing three games this week, but one that I want to mention, or a few that I want to mention here, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Dallas Stars, the New York Rangers, and the Washington Capitals. They all play their games on off nights, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, or Sundays this week. So providing a bit of additional fantasy value for any players that you may pick up from those teams. Anthony Mantha is 66% owned and is playing in the top six and top power play unit for the Capitals. Could be a valuable add this week. Dallas has a number of potentially valuable players that could be available, including Ryan Suter, Radek Faksa, Denis Gurianov, and Alexander Radulov. And anything else there, guys, from those teams that you've kind of got an eye on for the upcoming week?
I just like the way that Columbus has played. I thought they've from watching them play, I think they've played well, and especially with Pierre-Luc Dubois, he seems like he wants to play, and it shows.
Should we tell him?
He got traded last year.
He's at Columbus, John. Right?
Oh, no.
But hey, you know what, John? We are going to talk about Pierre-Luc Dubois because he is off to a good start here in Winnipeg.
We should have just inserted the crickets there instead.
Sorry, John, I had to do it to you. I've done it. Bruce has done it. We've all done it. So
yeah, sorry. I meant to say Voracek.
Okay, there you go. Wait, and actually, he's off to a good start. And Tyler, you got to be pretty happy with what you've seen from Patrick Laine this year.
Yeah, I was terrified when I drafted him. But it's turned out all right. I actually drafted Voracek too, so both of them have looked pretty good together. I don't know what he ends up at the end of the year, but I mean, he just scores goals. So he might be the only one on that team with more than 25, but
yeah, chances are. Yeah. He's looked good though, and he scored two OT winners, I think, already, right?
Yeah.
I did pick up Boone Jenner this week in one or two leagues. He's looked really good. We'll talk about him in our waiver wire pickups as well. But Columbus, sorry, go ahead.
Dubois has been really good.
Yeah.
I'll just throw it
out. He has been, but no, I was thinking Voracek, and then you guys were all looking at me like I was an idiot, and I was like, oh no. Oh no, I said the wrong guy, didn't I?
We all do it. But Columbus has been a pleasant surprise, yeah, fantasy wise this year. I mean, Elvis Merzlikins, I don't know what his ownership is now, but
oh, he's fantastic.
I mean, yeah, John, you got him in one or two
weeks.
He's
the best goalie on my team. Sorry, Fleury.
Bobrovsky is the best on mine, which is
shocking.
If you go back a few episodes and re-listen to what I said about him, and then I drafted him on both of my teams, and he's been good. So I'm an idiot. Don't listen to what I say.
I was hoping he was going to do terrible because I really wanted Spencer Knight to get some more playing time. So
yeah,
I'm in the same boat, John. I've got Spencer Knight in one league, and I don't think he's going to see much time. Like, no. Bobrovsky, just for reference here, guys, he's got a 1.99 goals against average and a 942 save percentage, four wins and four games started. So Tyler, yeah, you're probably feeling pretty good about him, especially where you drafted him this year.
Honestly, like, yeah, where I drafted him for sure, but he's due. I mean, if you look back at it, just forget about what I said a few podcasts ago. Just pretend that didn't happen.
Sure.
He is due.
Absolutely no record of it.
He is due to have like a Vezina type season, and he's on his way to doing that. So I don't know that it ends up like that, but it's a good start.
Yeah, no, they've looked good. I mean, truthfully, it's an elite team. Like they're going to contend for the division and probably for the Stanley Cup this year. And there's no reason for him not to be an elite goaltender fantasy wise, but time will tell. Okay, let's move on. Teams with two games this week, Edmonton, Nashville, and Ottawa. Edmonton's kind of the best of the bunch here, in my opinion. They host Philadelphia on Wednesday before visiting Vancouver on Saturday. Neither matchup is necessarily favorable, but if you need a streamer, Edmonton's third line has been incredible. Cassian, Warren Fogle, and Derek Ryan. I went and looked on Natural Stat Trick at some of their advanced analytics, and basically in terms of Corsi and possession numbers, scoring chances for, like, they've just been caving in other teams' third lines. Cassian's looked, actually, from a fantasy perspective, I think he's put up points in every single game this season so far, and he's got something like 23 hits and 18 PIMs. So he's providing category coverage right now. I don't expect the points to continue, but even if he's half of what he is right now in terms of points, he's still providing the other category coverage too, right, guys? And Warren Fogle. And actually, while we're talking about Warren Fogle, I just got to say it because it drives me nuts. I go on Twitter and everybody just wants to talk about Ethan Bear, right? Ethan Bear. Look, I like the kid. He's still got a lot of potential. But
It's what we do. It's what we do here.
Sure. But the fact remains, Warren Fogle is an excellent third line player. And for the first time, probably in my lifetime, the Oilers have a relevant third line. Mm-hmm. Like they might now have one of the deepest top nines in the entire league.
Yeah. The last time was probably late 90s. And then 2006 was probably the last time. And
even
their third line wasn't even that good in 2006 until the playoffs. So
yeah. Yeah.
But like, McLovin looks good. He looks really good.
That goal he scored the other night was nice. Like that was a total individual effort.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And I think Cassian's happy to have someone who can just bang bodies, right? Like just someone bigger on his line. He can and offensively talented as well. So and Cassian's a different player with bodies in the seats. Hey Bruce, like we talked about this lots in the off season, but
he feeds off the fans. Like, and the fans are cheering. He's moving. It's
yeah, and I think a lot of players feel that way. You hear lots of guys have made comments, right? They're just they hate playing in empty arenas. It's terrible. It's like playing in Buffalo or Arizona. Sorry, fans. I just had to say it. Anyway, if you're looking at other players from Edmonton, Kyler Yamamoto is another one, 8%. He hasn't been all that productive, though. Although he is playing next to Draisaitl and Nuge or players of that ilk. Evan Bouchard, 14%. Last I checked, it's probably up from that now, but he'd be a good addition, I think, probably long-term. Like Tyler, you'd said, he's not going to put up a ton of points necessarily right away, but he's getting lots of ice time here. We should talk about Zach Hyman, too. How good has he been for the Edmonton Oilers?
He's been fantastic.
Incredible, like, really. Just like that ever, that one-timer from the slot, top corner. Like,
yeah.
Yep. It's crazy. And no, just the way he chases down pucks. And it's one thing to chase down a puck, because Cassian did that on that top line in the past. But to be able to chase down that puck and be able to make a skilled play with it, to grab it off the wall and set something up, it's impressive.
Yeah, he's looking really good.
Are you saying that Cassian's not a skilled player? Like, did you see that breakaway goal that he had the other day? Like, man,
that was a soft touch. That was a
soft touch when he missed the puck and it went through his legs. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was good. Yeah. No, Hyman's a little bit better than him.
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm gonna agree with that to a T. Absolutely.
Yeah. Guaranteed, sure. Yeah.
And it makes you wonder too, now that you see what Hyman's doing at Edmonton, how much Toronto misses having Hyman in their top six.
Well, they have Bunting.
So you have Bunting.
He spent more time in the penalty box than he did on the ice on Saturday.
Well, hey, we should mention he did get moved up to the top line with Matthews and Like at that point, it was Nylander, I think.
Yeah.
Because they bumped Marner down.
Because Marner didn't want to play.
Yeah. He did get on the score.
And Marner still played over 20 minutes. Yeah.
And Bunting did get on the score sheet. It was in penalty minutes, but he was on the score sheet.
Hey, sometimes.
Yeah, they called that goal back.
Sometimes that's important.
Sure enough, yeah.
Not when it cost Matthews a goal.
It did, and, but you know what? That was a soft call, Bruce.
Yeah.
Do you not agree?
I agree. It was a very soft call, but still. The one he took like, after that wasn't, though.
No, but that one he got called for whatever it was, goaltender interference.
It was pretty soft, yeah.
It was a soft call, and it should have been a Matthews goal, and it would have been a Bunting assist.
Yeah.
And then at least everyone's feeling kind of good about themselves, but anyway. And then there's one team here with one game next week. That's the New York Islanders. I would avoid targeting the Islanders players for next week unless you really want to stash a player like Oliver Wahlstrom. You know, I kind of want to talk about him in the waiver wire picks, but he's been kind of quiet here after that 2-goal game. So probably just avoid those guys in general unless somebody here has another player they're looking at. Okay. So let's move on to our NHL Week 3 waiver wire targets. As we mentioned before, these are mostly focused on players with ownership that's approximately 50% or less. We do make some exceptions here. So, you know, just because we want to mention some of the more productive players throughout the past week or so, but in general, it's 50% or less. So let's start off with John's pick from earlier, Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Oh man, yeah, I won't be able to live that one down. So do I start talking about Voracek now, or
if you want
no,
to?
Just kidding. But yeah, Luc Dubois. It looks like he's been rostered 51% in Yahoo. He's got 3 games this week. Second line with Connor and Svechnikov. Yeah, he's been good. He's looked incredible here with Winnipeg, not Columbus. And no, it just looks like his game's been revitalized. And he's putting up points, 4 goals, 1834 time on ice. Some underlying numbers for concern are his 5-on-5 shot percentage is only 12.5. Shot volume 1.6 shots on goal game. 45.7 Corsi 4. He has elite line mates though, so that's really helping him. Helping them get on the score sheet and put up positive numbers.
Yeah, I like Pierre-Luc Dubois, regardless of what team he's playing for. He's been good. And if we go a few weeks back, Tyler, actually, what was your prediction for Dubois? Do you remember how many points? It was like 80 points or something you thought for Dubois this year.
Did I say that?
I'm not quoting you because I don't recall, but.
We got to just like put these podcasts out and then throw them in the garbage right after. I still think that he could get, I don't remember saying that, but I think he could get up there. He's looked more and more comfortable. And Winnipeg hasn't actually played that great to this point. So
no,
there's still time for him and he looks more comfortable. There was flashes when he was still in Columbus. Speaking of Columbus, there's flashes of it where he could take over a game, and they haven't seen that yet in Winnipeg.
No,
so there is time for that to happen. So,
and he's off to a good start. It's helped his confidence. I mean, Kyle Connor's phenomenal, right? He's just that guy might lead the league in goals at this point, or at his current pace, right? He's just looked great. So, yeah, playing with that guy on your line is not going to hurt. The only concern, I guess, would be, like I said, like John had said, some of those underlying numbers, like, you know, his 5-on-5 shooting percentage at 12.5%. Well, that's going to come down a bit. He's not a big volume shooter, but if he keeps scoring goals, I guess it doesn't really matter. And beyond that too, like when Wheeler and Scheifele come back, he's going to get a bit less ice time. But, you know, if he's just sitting on the waiver wire, there's absolutely no reason not to go out and grab him. I had mentioned Boone Jenner earlier, so I guess I'll talk about him here. He's dual eligible center left wing. He's only 13% rostered, or at least at the time of writing of this, he was 13%. They've got 3 games next week versus Dallas, at New York, and at New Jersey. He's centering that top line with Laine and Voracek. Pretty plum assignment, honestly. Laine looks like he's going to have a big bounce back year here. Voracek's looked good. He's getting top line and power play one usage, just about 70% power play share. He's averaging over 20 minutes a game. He's won roughly 64% of his faceoffs. And actually, even better, his 5-on-5 shooting percentage at 3.7% is actually going to come up. So we could see even a little bit more production out of Boone Jenner here. He's got 4 goals, I believe, and no assists currently through 4 or 5 games. So Jenner looks really good. If he's still out there and you need center some help at center, give him a look. He's been good on faceoffs and everything else, like I said. So definitely got to keep an eye out for. Bruce, who do you like here? Enlighten us.
I added another Winnipeg player. So one I had picked was Andrew Kopp. So he was filling in for Blake Wheeler on the top line. He's had 5 points here in his past 5 games. He's also playing on the first power play. So he's getting all the opportunity in Wheeler's absence, which sounds like it could be another week in the COVID protocol. So if you've got a gap on your lineup, he's filling in nicely.
And we should, Bruce, maybe talk about Paul Stastny too while we're just on the topic of the Jets, because I put out that tweet yesterday about, was that this morning? I can't remember. But anyway, he's looked good. So tell us about Paul Stastny.
Yeah, so Stastny's taking Scheifele's spot on the first line as well and on the first power play. So he's put 4 points in his last 3 games as well. So until Scheifele returns, and we're not really sure how much longer he's going to be out, but Stastny's doing well. So if you need someone to take Scheifele's spot in your lineup, he's a good fit.
I think he played over 21 minutes in his last game there too. So lots of ice time, lots of opportunity.
For sure.
Tyler, who do you want to talk about? I know you got somebody. There's got to be someone on that list you like there.
Evan Bouchard.
Yep, let's talk about him.
We said earlier too, I don't know how many points he's going to put up in the short term here, but I think he's going to steal that spot from Barry. I don't think it's going to translate to points, but I think he's going to play a lot of minutes. So I think he's going to pitch in with the odd point, just given the Oilers' offense. And his ability to get the puck through from the blue line, it's a skill that he has that a lot of players don't from the blue line. And I think that's going to translate. I don't know if it's going to happen right away. Might take a little bit of time, but in a keeper league for sure, you want to pick him up and keep him.
Yeah, I like Bouchard for a lot of reasons, like some of which you'd already mentioned, but he's on pace for 49 points. And it's early in the season, so you don't get too excited, right? But, I mean, John, as you said earlier, he went from 19 minutes a game to 24 in his last game here. The coach loves him. And for me, that's the big thing, is he has the trust of his head coach, because with a lot of young players, that's usually the problem as to why they don't get opportunity. The coach doesn't trust him. And Bouchard was out there in the last minute of the game against Vegas on Friday night.
Yeah.
And right? Played well.
Yeah. And played well.
Yeah.
Like dad, as they call him, right? Because he looks like he's 40.
He is an old man.
He's calm out there. And yeah, I think he's going to stick on Nurse's line, like on his pair. And that's great. And so if you've got even strength exposure to Draisaitl and McDavid and Jesse Puljujärvi, he's going to put up some points just by association.
Yeah.
So is he going to put up 50 points? Excuse me. Chances are no. But I think he's still going to be valuable, especially in deep leagues and keeper leagues, like you said. You had mentioned Jacob Chychrun earlier, too. So we should talk about Shane Gostisbehere, who's 17% rostered in Yahoo. They've got 3 games next week, or 4, potentially. I think it's 4, actually. I just mixed up my notes here. My apologies. But he's getting a ton of power play time. He's put up 4 points and 2 power play points through 5 games. He's rolling out there for 64% of the power play. Chychrun's only seeing 35%. And again, this is early, but Gostisbehere is on pace for 66 points. So as a defenseman in your 4-6 slot, probably has some value, even just for power play points and in deep leagues. Sorry, guys. So yeah, keep an eye on him. I think he could return some value. Who else here, guys? We had lots of picks this week. I think we should talk about Lucas Raymond.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So he's rostered in 13% of Yahoo leagues. Three games this week at Washington, home to Florida, and at Toronto. He's playing on that top line with Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi. He had a 4-point effort tonight against the Blackhawks. He took over the lead in rookie scoring. He's playing in the top line, like we just said, top power play. At the very least, he's worth a flyer here. But, I mean, guys, is he someone that you're going to look like? Bruce, I think these are maybe your notes here. Yeah. Like, is he a guy you're going to look at for the rest of the season?
Well, if it's a keeper league, he shouldn't even be available anymore in a keeper league. He should be gone already. But, yeah, for me, with this, what he's doing so far, yeah, I'm picking up and I'm holding on to him. Definitely.
Like, I'm just going to pull up his numbers here quick.
He's not playing a ton of minutes per game. He's only averaging about 14 minutes a game, but he's getting top power play time when he's on the first line. Like, it's, and he's putting up points.
Yeah, he's averaging just about 3.5 minutes of power play time a game and just over 15 minutes now, time on ice. But 7 points through six games, he's on pace for 96 points. So that's probably going to play out.
Yeah. At least you hope so, right?
What's that, John?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or Bruce? I like him a lot. Him and Moritz Seider. Definitely keep tabs on your waiver wire for those guys. Should we talk about goaltending here?
I don't want to.
Sore subject, I know, John.
Oh, man.
John, you're kind of our resident goalie fan, so maybe, I mean, we've got a couple guys here this week, and one of which is he's nearly 70% roster. But maybe should we start there? Maybe.
Can I cry first about it, or?
Sure. Did you lose this player or what?
No, I had Samsonov on my team, and unfortunately, Vitek Vanacek has really come out as the starter there in Washington. He's played fantastic, and Samsonov's kind of an idiot, so that's. But yeah, no, it looks like Vanacek has secured the starting role. He's played fantastic. He's got 205 GAA with a 920 save percentage, and yeah, the Caps just seem confident in him. I don't know what else to say. Samsonov, he had a chance, and I think he kind of blew it, and Vanacek's just going to be the one that they lean on.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're comfortable with Vanacek. I had mentioned a couple weeks ago that the goaltending coach there just said they had a lot of confidence in him and Vanacek, and they liked his attitude and his work ethic, and it's like just had lots of really positive things to say about him. I think at the very least, if you are a Samsonov owner still, you need to grab Vanacek. He needs to be handcuffed. He's started 4 or 5 games now for the Caps this season, right? And one other thing to note is Vanacek has a 957 even strength save percentage and a 786 PK save percentage, which we all know is going to regress to 860. So we could potentially see some even better numbers possibly out of Vanacek still. And that Washington team always seems to be right in the mix for the division every year. So truthfully, I went out and picked up Vanacek in one league just because he was available, and I dropped Swayman, I think, because it seems like in Boston now they've kind of turned away from Swayman. They've given Ullmark 2 straight starts here now, and that could change. But if we subscribe to Dauber's theory of follow the money, it looks like Ullmark's going to get some more starts here for Boston. And Tuukka Rask is still kind of in the wings. We don't know if that's actually going to come to fruition or not, but a lot of unknowns with Swayman at this point still, even though he's a fantastic goalie in his own right. But Vitek Vanacek. And then who wants to talk about Aiden Hill? Okay. Okay, so
crickets.
They're just laughing, Tyler. So when I made this note about Aiden Hill, this is when the Sharks were 4-0 and his save percentage and his GAA looked really good. And then he got absolutely shelled today. I don't know what his final numbers were, but he was like a 700 save percentage. It was just brutal. But if we take out today's game and just completely ignore that. Throw it in the trash. Aiden Hill is 45% owned in Yahoo. They've got three games next week against Nashville, Montreal, and Winnipeg. He's basically been the starter for San Jose. He made good on what he showed in Arizona last year. He's off to a good start with three wins, two goals against average, and a .922 save percentage. I'd have to go back and look at his numbers here again to see what they shook out after today's loss. But, I mean, the Sharks are 4-0, and they're sitting second in the Pacific Division. So, I got to ask you guys, like, are the Sharks for real, or is this just sort of a mirage? And, Tyler, I'll start with you.
I think it's kind of a mirage. I don't think they're going to be as bad as we expected them to be after this start, but he had a 714 save percentage today and a 9.6 goals against average. Yeah, if you had him in today and didn't have very many guys going, he lost you. He lost you probably 5 or 6 points today. So that's pretty bad.
That's quite bad.
But I don't think, like, they still do, if you look through their lineup, they do still have kind of the core guys all there. Carlson has been awesome so far this year. Even looks, and I drafted him in both leagues, just going to throw that out there. He even looks super comfortable. He looks, like, happy again when you watch their games. But I don't think that they're going to end up, they might be in the top four, top five in the division. But they're not going to continue this 4-1 start that they had here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They'll definitely be better than they were last. You couldn't be much worse than they were last year. But guys like Timo Meier, like, good hockey player, Thomas Hertl, they've got William Eklund there. Their defense, like, between Burns and Carlson and Vlasic, they should be fine, right? I mean,
they still have Couture too.
Yeah. That's the guy you forget about all the time, right? Because he's been around for a while, and he's injured quite often too. But when he plays, he's a great player.
I think as an Oilers fan, you don't really forget him. Just all the times that true. San Jose came in and kicked Edmonton's ass, and it was always Couture.
Yeah.
So this from this point of view of being an Oilers fan, it's hard to write them off because they've always kicked Edmonton's ass.
Yeah.
Except for that one playoff series. But
Clef Bomb series.
Yeah, Clef Bomb.
I miss Sex Bomb.
Yeah, me too.
We won't talk about it. Sorry, Oilers fans. Okay, John. San Jose, is it legit or is it a mirage?
It's a mirage. I'm saying wholeheartedly. They had a great start. No, they're not going to be able to maintain it. And I don't see them doing very well at all. Like, I don't even think they're a 500 team.
Okay, fair enough. Bruce, thoughts?
Well, I'm going to be a little more optimistic than John. The Pacific Division is going to be as it's showing so far, the Pacific Division is pretty much a shit show other than Edmonton. So, like, really, they're playing this well.
We have time.
Yeah,
we have time.
Like, Vegas isn't looking all that great right now either, now that they're missing Stone and Pacioretty, right? Anaheim has looked better. Seattle's looked a little worse than what we expected. So you just don't know. I don't think they're going to be a playoff contender, but I think they could push to be a playoff contender this season.
I wouldn't be shocked, but and then let's talk about Erik Karlsson just quickly again. So is he back? Like, I mean, Tyler, you said he looks good. He looks happy. He's playing sort of like Erik Karlsson of 3, 4, 5 years ago, but I'd love for that guy to just have some success. And it's kind of funny because Andy Sutton, when he was on the show, when we asked him who's going to be the Norris Trophy winner this year, he said Erik Karlsson.
I don't know about that, but he also sounded like he was really caught off guard and fishing for answers, but.
Yeah, maybe.
he has been really good. But we're also comparing it to, like, the last 2.5 seasons of him being complete shit. So,
yeah.
Even just him being average or slightly above average and still not elite is going to help out San Jose. If you look at the division too, like, I think that they're better than Calgary, top to bottom. goaltending is going to be their downfall, I think, for San Jose.
Yeah.
I think they're better than Anaheim. LA looked really good, but they're still 1-3-1. So they could be top four in the division, top five.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Bruce said, it's kind of a shit show in the Pacific, right? We just don't know what's going to happen. And I actually dropped Cal Peterson here today. He looked bad against St. Louis. And LA is kind of more off to that start, Bruce, that you expected more than the one that I expected. So, kind of rough. Let's move on to some more forwards here, guys. We got a couple more here before we sign off. Joel Farabee, and this one, not so much a waiver wire pick, maybe. Like, he's 67% rostered in Yahoo, but if he is available, definitely get your hands on him. If he's not available, I wouldn't hesitate to try and make a trade for him. He's got left wing, right wing eligibility. He's playing with Atkinson and Brassard, at least until Hayes comes back. He's looked really good. He's got 6 points, 3 goals through 4 games played. That line collectively, again, I referenced Natural Stat Trick. They haven't been scored on. They got 7 goals, 4-0 against through 4 games. So
solid.
Good to see there. Yeah. Some of the underlying numbers I looked at, again, look, it's suggested there's some aggression coming from Joel Farabee, but he was on a 60-something point pace last year, I believe. So this isn't all that surprising to see what we're getting out of him now. So a player I like for sure. And if he's not available, Cam Atkinson potentially is. And he's another guy that's been pretty good to start the year. How do you guys feel about Matt Zuccarello right now? Like, he was kind of a hot pickup at the start of last week, and he's been cold here now for a couple games. And Bruce, you're kind of the Minnesota Wild, president of the Minnesota Wild fan club. So we'll go to you first on that one.
Well, I think he's going to be just fine. It's their last game here, that first line kind of took it on the chin. But I think overall, I think he's under rostered. I think he should be higher than that. He was close to a point per game playing with Kaprizov last year. And I think he'll be close to that again this year. He's still getting all the chances. He's on the first power play. He's still on the first line. He's going to get his chances. The points will come.
And Eriksson X looked really good. Well, and Kaprizov too, for that matter. Yeah. But they both looked really good. So
yeah.
Not a lot of concern there, I guess. 31% owned. So probably a good pickup there, especially if you're looking for a right winger. And then let's go back to Yanni Gourde quick. You know, he's 32% owned. Do you guys like him as a pickup? Like, for this week, he's got 3 games versus Montreal, Minnesota, and the Rangers. He's playing on that second line with Schwartz and Yarncroke. Like I mentioned earlier, he's playing over 22 minutes a game, 3.45 on the power play. Just 1 assist to show so far, but he's shown in the past he can put up some points. So, Tyler, you buy or sell on Yanni Gourde?
I'm selling. You sent out that tweet. I went and picked him up right away. Don't even think it. Just blindly did it because Fantasy Good, Hockey Hack said to do it.
That's what I want to hear.
But I'm selling. I just don't think. I just compare him to what Vegas was when in their first season. They're not the same. They're not the same offensive kind of fun team. I just don't. I'd rather have Eberle than Yanni Gourde, probably.
Fair enough. John, are you buying or selling on Gourde?
Kind of a mixed emotion on that one. Like Tyler was saying, I'd rather have Eberle too, for sure, but it's tough to say. Of course, with that listener question, he was putting Gourde against Garland and Verhaeghe, if I can pronounce that correctly. But I guess those two guys, I'd be dropping Gourde. But I like the guy though. He's put up some decent numbers for what he has to deal with. And I think as that team gets situated, I think they'll start to do a little bit better. And at least that's what I'm hoping for. And I see good things to come from them. But just a little bit cautionary on that one, though.
I think just to add to what he said too is, I think now is not the time probably for him. I think as we go through the season, also depends on how deep your league is. Yep. For us in a 10 person team, a 10 man league in both of them, he's just not, the value is just not there. There's other guys that you can pick up and stream in that kind of lower end of your lineup as opposed to him. I'm just not sold on him yet.
Yeah, no.
So. No, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Like in a 10-person league, yeah, there's probably some guys that are going to provide some more fantasy production for you. But in a 12-team league or deeper, I mean, he's a guy you have to keep an eye on. And I think, too, like he's got 1.1 power play point through two games played. He's coming off injury, too. I mean, his best season was 64 points in Tampa and basically playing on the third line. So the past couple of years, he's been down a little bit. And then in 2020, 2021, he was on pace for 53 points. So, you know, faceoff percentage, he's over 50% right now. At his first career, he's at 48%. Like he could help you. I think we'll see more production out of him. And I think in the Pacific Division where it is a bit weaker, that's going to give him some opportunity to put up some points. But Bruce, you're buying or selling on Yanni Gourde?
At the moment I'm selling until the two top six lines in Seattle can gel or find some chemistry. Their third and fourth lines are what's generating their shots and their points for them right now. You got to get the top two lines figured out, because in Saturday's game, their fourth line was generating all the chances.
Yeah. Okay. And then is this the last guy I want to talk about quickly is Riley Smith out of Vegas. Do you guys give me your thoughts on him? Like, I mean, is he must add given that Pacioretty and Stone are out right now? Because that's essentially the top line now is Carlson, Marchessault, and Riley Smith. And if I look, I think he was over 20 minutes in the last game they played as well.
Last game he was 15:56. But the
his game before that he was 20:47. Correct. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I mean, he's got 1.4 games, and typically I wouldn't even look at Riley Smith. I'm not a huge fan of the player. I just think given the opportunity with those two guys out, is he someone worth looking at?
I think there's probably better options out there.
I was going to say crickets.
Okay. No. Well, okay. We'll walk over each other. It's fine. Okay. So Bruce, you think there's better options? Eh?
I think you'll find better options on the waiver wire. If you have to pick from Vegas players, he's kind of the plug-in one. But you look at a guy like Andrew Kopp or Stastny or something like that for Winnipeg, that'd be a better fill-in spot, I think, than Riley Smith right now.
Absolutely.
Or Drouin.
Yep.
So Tyler, let's talk about your boy Drouin, who we didn't mention. So you like Drouin for this week?
I don't actually like him, but I think
personally he doesn't care.
Personally, I don't care. But in his last two games, like Montreal, other than the last game that they played against Detroit, which was a blowout, they really haven't put up any offense, and any offense that they did put up came off his stick. So in a deeper league, it's like we're talking about Riley Smith or Yanni Gourde. Drouin, somebody to kind of look at. He had two assists in the last game, one assist before that, a goal two games before that. A lot of their, like, Montreal's not putting up much offense other than that one game, but it was coming from him, so.
Well, I think a lot of their numbers, if you look at them, they should, because their 5-on-5 shooting percentage as a team is way down. So, if you look at the team's PDO, it's like everything. Yeah, and their PK save percentage was at like 750, 780, whatever it was. Like we had another follower chat with his brother on Twitter, and so yeah, they are going to regress positively, right? Like that whole offense is going to, and you saw it a bit the other day where Toffoli finally got on the board. Like you said, Drouin's put up some offense. Mike Hoffman eventually is going to find his stride. Like they're not going to be as
Caulfield doesn't even have a point yet. And
I think he has 1 point now.
Oh, he might. Okay. But that's going to change. Like, I don't know if the game against Detroit is them turning the corner, but they're not that bad.
No, they're not as bad as they've shown. But I mean, Bruce, you and I were talking about this on Friday. Like, I think the expectations for that team were a bit high given that they don't have their number one goaltender. They don't have their number one defenseman. They don't have arguably their number one center in Phillips Noe. They lost Corey Perry. Like,
yeah,
that's and Joel Edmondson is
he's at home with his dad
right now too. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for them to not live up to expectations, but they will get better. Okay. Jonathan Drouin, good pick.
I'd take him over Riley Smith. I'll say that. I would agree with that too. Not a fan of Smith. Just looking at the way he's played this year. I know he's going to get that chance with the others being out, but yeah. No, I'm still taking Drouin over Smith.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, guys. So with that, one win for Tyler. We'll mark that up on the board.
I'll pump his tires
one for Tai Chi. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Let the parade start. Okay, before we go, hey, how's everyone's fantasy seasons going so far? Like, is everybody? How are your teams looking? What's good? What's not? Bruce, you happy with your start so far to the fantasy season?
Yeah, it's actually been pretty good. So I've been pretty happy with the way my teams have been performing so far.
Nice. John, you?
I was, but I have a huge goaltending problem right now. My boy Fleury, he's not playing well, and he's being left out to dry at the same time. And I was hoping he'd kind of stick in for my number one, but I don't know, it's not looking hopeful, so I might have to do something there. And also, Spencer Knight, I thought he'd get a little bit more playing time, maybe. That might come, who knows, but if Bobrovsky continues to play well, that's not looking like a good situation. So I just got Merzlikins here keeping me in it. So, but other than that, I'm happy with my team, just not a fan of all the injuries that are happening and the COVID protocols driving me nuts.
Yep, fair enough. Tyler, how's your season going?
It's actually been okay. So some of the guys that I drafted late are playing well. So Voracek, Tarasenko hasn't done too much, but he's done a little bit. Good for depth. Kopitar, that I was able to get in both leagues. Super hot start to the season.
Yep.
Erik Karlsson actually looks like Erik Karlsson, which is weird, but awesome at the same time. And I have Bobrovsky, so hopefully he keeps playing good and Spencer Knight doesn't get any playing time.
Not a fan. Good Not stuff. A fan.
And for me, I'm just happy Brady Tkachuk signed, not in December. So that was cool because I had him in both leagues. And I will say I'm really happy for the way things are going in Dallas with Braden Holtby. I've got him in a couple leagues now, so hopefully that continues the way it's been trending. And with Heiskanen too, I've got him in one league. So those are kind of the big takeaways for me. Oh, and Ovi. I think Ovi now is off to a career best start. He's got 10 points in 5 games. So the first time I've ever had him in fantasy, and he's off to a rip-roaring start. So that's good to see.
And Kuznetsov too.
Yep. Yep. Actually, Washington's looked pretty good.
And I drafted him 189.
Nothing wrong with that. No, that's... I can't believe he went that far. Like, that's...
Yeah, he was just sitting there. I thought one of the auto draft guys was going to end up with him, but it didn't. So.
Lucky for you, hey?
Yeah, that worked out.
Good stuff. Okay, well, I think that's kind of it for this week, guys. We should mention, too, just again, our contest. We are giving away 4 tickets, Loge tickets to an Edmonton Oilers game on November 3rd against the Nashville Predators. If you haven't already, go and check out the post. It's on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Retweet, you know, like, share, repost, whatever. And then give us a follow on the podcast as well on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are going to announce the winner likely next Sunday, October 31st, or if not, it'll be the next day, the following day on the Monday. If anyone has any questions, comments, or otherwise, please feel free to email us, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at FHHacks and on Instagram at fantasyhockeyhacks. And with that, guys, it's been fun. Another good episode. Lots of good stuff to like here. Good luck with your week. Not too much. I hope you all fail miserably, actually, for that matter. And we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Awesome. Have a good night.
Hey, good night.
Take care.